Grit, The Power of Passion and Perseverance. Author, Angela Duckworth. What grit is? The highly successful people have a kind of ferocious determination that plays out in two ways. First, they are resilient and hardworking. Second, they know what they want. They not only have determination, but they also have direction. It's this combination of passion and perseverance that made high achievers special. In a word, they had grit. Ability and grit. I was interviewing leaders in business, art, athletics, medicine, and law. Many of the people I talked to could also recount tales of rising stars who dropped out or lost interest before they could realize their potential. This kind of successful, passionate, and determined people are who we call gritty people. For me, the question became this: how do you measure something so intangible? I sat down and looked over my interview notes and started writing questions that captured descriptions of what it means to have grit. Half of the questions were about perseverance, while the other half was about passion. What emerged was the grit scale, a test that measures the extent to which you approach life with grit. Distracted by talent. Are we all equally talented? No. The ability to climb the learning curve of any skill is obviously a very good thing, and some of us are better at it than others. In my view, the biggest reason why preoccupation with talent can be harmful is simple. By sharing our spotlight on talent, we risk leaving everything else in the shadows. We unintentionally send the message that these other factors, including grit, don't matter as much as they really do. The focus on talent distracts us from something that is at least as important, and that is effort. Effort counts twice. If we overemphasize talent, we underemphasize everything else. Talent is how quickly your skills improve when you invest effort. Achievement is what happens when you take your acquired skills and use them. Effort builds skills. At the same time, effort makes skill productive. I would add that skill is not the same thing as achievement either. Without effort, your talent is nothing more than your unmet potential. Grit grows. How much of our grit is in our genes? Science has made huge strides in figuring out how genes, experience, and their interplay makes us who we are. The inherent complexity of these scientific facts has led to their continually being misunderstood. However, every human trait is influenced by both genes and experience. Grit, talent, and all other psychological traits relevant to success in life are influenced by genes and also by experience. You can grow your grit from inside out by understanding the following four traits of grit. Trait number one, interest. Within the last decade, scientists who study interest have arrived at a definitive answer. First, research shows that people are more satisfied with their jobs when they do something that fits their personal interest. Second, people perform better at work when what they do interests them. Instead, interests are triggered by interactions with the outside world. The process of interest can be messy and inefficient. This is because you can't really predict with certainty what will capture your attention and what won't. You can't simply will yourself to like things either. Paradoxically, the initial discovery of an interest often goes unnoticed by the discoverer. What follows the initial discovery of an interest is a much lengthier and increasingly proactive period of interest development. Crucially, the initial triggering of a new interest must be followed by subsequent encounters that re-trigger your attention. Trait number two, practice. It's not surprising that there's a learning curve for skill development, but the timescale on which that development happens is. Gritty people do more deliberate practice and experience more flow. There's no contradiction here, for two reasons. First, deliberate practice is a behavior, and flow is an experience. And in fact, I think that for most experts, they rarely go together. Trait number three, purpose. The intention to contribute to the well-being of others is another source of passion. The mature passions of gritty people depend on both. Human beings seek pleasure because, by and large, the things that bring us pleasure are those that increase our chances of survival. People who cooperate are more likely to survive than loners. Society depends on stable, interpersonal relationships. The desire to connect is as basic a human need as our appetite for pleasure. Trait number four, hope. Explanations used by pessimists or optimists are permanent, and there's not much we can do to change them. Permanent and persuasive explanations for adversity turn minor complications into major catastrophes. They make it seem logical to give up. It isn't suffering that leads to hopelessness. It's suffering you think you can't control. Language and hope. Language is one way to cultivate hope, but modeling a growth mindset, demonstrating by our actions that we truly believe people can learn, may be even more important. Whether you are a parent, manager, coach, or any other type of mentor, I suggest you observe your own language over the next few days, listening to the beliefs your words may be reinforcing in yourself and others. A fixed mindset about ability leads to pessimistic explanations of adversity, and that in return leads to both giving up on challenges and avoiding them in the first place. In contrast, a growth mindset leads to optimistic ways of explaining adversity, and that in return leads to perseverance and seeking out new challenges that will ultimately make you even stronger. Parenting for grit. For those of us who want to parent for grit, the following is a guide for making the many decisions we must grapple with while raising our children. First and foremost, there's no either-or trade-off between supportive parenting and demanding parenting. In actuality, there's no reason you can't do both. Some families are child-centered in the sense that they clearly put their children's interest first, but neither family felt that children were always the better judge of what to do, how hard to work, and when to give up on things. I'll refer to authoritative parenting as wise parenting, because parents are more accurate judges of the psychological needs of their children. They appreciate that children need love, limits, and latitude to reach their full potential. Their authority is based on knowledge and wisdom, rather than power. There are three other common parenting styles, including the demanding, unsupportive approach to raising children exemplified by neglectful parents. Neglectful parenting creates an especially toxic emotional climate. Authoritarian parents are demanding and unsupportive. Permissive parents, by contrast, are supportive and undemanding. Growing up with support, respect, and high standards confers a lot of benefits, one of which is especially relevant to grit. In other words, wise parenting encourages children to emulate their parents. The playing fields of grit. Like a lot of parents, I had a strong intuition that grit is enhanced by doing activities. Any structured extracurricular activity. These activities possess two important features that are hard to replicate in any other setting. First, there is an adult in charge, ideally a supportive and supporting one, who is not the parent. Second, these pursuits are designed to cultivate interest, practice, purpose, and hope. The ballet studio, the recital hall, the basketball court. These are all the playing fields of grit. I would recommend that, as soon as your child is old enough, you find something they might enjoy doing outside of class and sign them up. There are countless researches showing that children who are more involved in extracurricular fare better on just about every conceivable metric. In conclusion, more participation in activities predicts better outcomes. A culture of grit. Whether we realize it or not, the culture in which we live and which we identify powerfully shapes just about every aspect of our being. By culture, I don't mean the geographic and political boundaries that divide one people from another, as much as the invisible psychological boundaries that separate us from them. At its core, a culture is defined by the shared norms and values of a group of people. In other words, a distinct culture exists anytime a group of people are in consensus about how we do things around here and why. If you want to be grittier, find a gritty culture and join it. If you're a leader and want the people in your organization to be grittier, create a gritty culture. You can do it. You can grow your grit on your own. You can connect your work to a purpose beyond yourself. And you can learn hope when all seems lost. You can also grow your grit from the outside in. Developing a personal grit depends critically on other people. My dad used to say when I was a little girl, "You're no genius." I realize now he was talking to himself as much as he was talking to me. If you define genius as being able to accomplish great things in life without effort, then he was right. I'm no genius, and neither is he. But if instead you define genius as working towards excellence ceaselessly with every element of your being, then in fact, my dad is a genius, and so am I. And if you're willing, so are you.